Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good Friday evening, St. Louis. Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I am Rennie Knott filling in tonight and having the time of my life. I just finished up doing the Rush Hour Sports with Bernie Miklas, and now we're opening up to you to hear your voice and what you want to say about St. Louis sports and beyond. It's been a while for me personally when it comes to covering sports. I've been doing the news since 2016, so I missed a lot of what it was like to be in the clubhouse, what it was like to be in the dressing room, just at the games and to feel the pulse of the fan, as well as talk to the players about their ups and downs. But as a fan, when all you do is watch, it's a whole different perspective on things. And I must say that the opportunity to be a fan, as much as I missed covering sports, was fun because I could cheer and I didn't have to analyze and I didn't have to break down. I could just appreciate. And I know a lot of fans out there appreciate the teams that they watch and the players that they love, yet at the same time, you want them to be the best that they could be, the team to be the best team on the planet. Thus, we have our times when we don't feel so great about our teams. And I think 2025 has certainly been that when you think about the baseball team. Certainly been that so far when you think about the hockey team. And we've had some hope if you want to bring Mizzou into the mix when it comes to football. But we don't know if that's going to pan out in 2025. But what we can cling to is the fact that it isn't the end. And that there is going to be eventually a tomorrow. And as we saw back in the 2018-2019 season, the Blues could have a bad time and then rebound and win a cup. As we've seen back in the 70s and all that with the St. Louis Cardinals, that they can have a resurgence and can be a winning team again. So let us not give up hope. Let us not give up hope. Let us just hope that the people in charge making all the moves make the right moves and make you feel good that, oh yeah, we can indeed do this. Now, I am not in studio alone. I am here with the one and only Kyle. And Kyle, I don't even know your last name. What is it?
My name is Kyle Sixta.
Kyle Sixta.
It's a hard one to pronounce.
6-2 is not too...
That's 6-2. I always tell people it's like you're saying a score, 6-1, and you drop off the one. No one, when you just look at my last name, can pronounce it right on the first try.
So this is why you're doing sports, because you have a last name that sounds like a score.
We'll go with that.
I love this. I love this a lot. I am not accustomed to being by myself and just sort of talking, so it feels a little weird. So that's why I'm more than happy to have you in here with me to bounce things off of. When it comes to the local scene, and you've been on the radio all week this week, what is it that you feel people are most encouraged by when you think about the different teams that are being discussed on KMOX?
To be quite honest, right now, you look at the St. Louis Billikens men's basketball team, and they're starting off, they scored 100-plus points in back-to-back games, coming off a big win against Lindenwood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they haven't gotten into A-10 play, obviously, yet, but that's something that has never been done in Billikens history. And that's something that a lot of people in St. Louis are talking about right now. People have said, we just had we'd had the head coach on, Josh Schertz, earlier in the week, and he said that this is a very deep Billikens team, something that he's very pleased with early in the year. You look at the Cardinals offseason, I mean, under Heim Bloom, I think that's reason for hope. You got new owner or new front
bring
office.
Bring the positivity, Kyle.
Yeah,
bring
and
it.
I mean, that's something to look forward to. Obviously, the Blues, not off to a great start, but there's plenty of time, like you said. But I would say the St. Louis Billikens right now.
You know what I'm saying? It's November. So when I hear people go, oh, these Blues, it's November.
Right.
And who knows, especially with an Olympic break in the middle of all of this, what it can be like on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Hang close, be competitive. Now, that is something they have lacked. Be competitive, and I think people will believe there can be a push on the other side of the Olympics.
Yeah, we saw it last year.
Now, you brought up the Billikens, and I love the fact you brought up the Billikens, because you said they beat Lindenwood. I'm going, if they didn't beat Lindenwood, it'd be a headline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And granted, you score over 100, that is wonderful, but it's Lindenwood. Now, I know Lindenwood is D1 now, but you've been D1 for a lot longer time, so you should be able to win a game like that. It is good to see, though, that we have more than one D1 team in the area.
Absolutely.
And I know Lindenwood is also D1 in football and have had some things go their way this past season. So hopefully they start to grow. And let us not forget about SIUE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, SIUE had a run last season, too, on the basketball court. So there are some things to be hopeful for. And speaking of Lindenwood, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Pierre Desir. Now, Pierre played football at Lindenwood, grew up in St. Charles, went to the NFL. In fact, he's the very first Lindenwood Lion to be drafted into the NFL. So he's going to join us to talk not just about his experiences in the game of football, but his experiences in the game of life, because he started out life in Haiti before his parents relocated here to the St. Louis area. So life changed dramatically for him to go from Haiti to the NFL. And now in the St. Charles area, he is indeed giving back. He has some wonderful things to say. If you check out his Instagram, a lot of motivational posts, Kyle.
Yeah, looking forward to having him on. Obviously, a great career in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Me being, I don't think I've told you this yet, I'm a Houston Texans fan.
And no, you haven't.
We played, the Texans played the Colts a ton, and we saw a lot of Pierre over in those divisional matchups.
Yeah, he was a beast. You know, he's a tall, lanky type of defensive back, and you know, you watch the play, and you go, how's that guy able to move like that?
Right.
And now, when you watch the NFL, everybody is that size, if not bigger, at a defensive back spot. Believe it or not, in college, my first 2 years at Southern Oregon State College, I was a starting free safety. So I was 5'10", about 190 pounds. And then I had a year of when I was ineligible. And so that year I grew. I went from about 190, 200 pounds to eventually 215, and then moved the running back. So when I was a defensive back, it was great to go knock over the running backs. When I'm a running back, it was spectacular to stiff arm a defensive back. I used to look forward to those days like, oh, here he comes. Give him the right, give him the left, whatever you could do. We're also going to be talking some baseball coming up shortly with Will Leach from MLB. And there's a lot to talk about when it comes to baseball. A lot to talk about when it comes to the budgets in baseball, because I think that's going to set the bar as to the winners and losers. Because when you look at these, the teams that are doing it now, it seems to be the teams that have invested some money. Of course, they're bigger markets, but they've invested some money and have secured some rosters that afford them the ability to make a run. We're also going to be joined at 6:35 by a personal friend of mine, one of my former interns here in St. Louis. His name is Keith Robinson. And Keith, I believe, went to Hazelwood West. So a hometown kid who interned with us. After he got done interning with us and working in our digital department, called on at TNT. Not just called on at TNT, but ended up doing NBA inside the NBA with Barkley and Shaq and Ernie and Kenny. And now he's a vice president with the Phoenix Suns. To see this young man's growth is just incredible. And one of the greatest moments, and I'll ask him this, he proposed to his wife on live TV at the end of an NBA playoff game at mid-court. So you've got Charles and those guys tossing down to you at mid-court, and he's kind of talking about, you know, being a part of the team and da-da-da-da. And his wife's out there and kind of just looking at him like, why am I standing here? And then he gets down on one knee and asks for a hand in marriage. Tears streaming out his eyes, tears streaming down my eyes. It was an incredible, incredible moment. And I'm glad she said yes, too.
That would have been rough. What a great moment, and what a great story.
It is a great. It's one of the things that I tried so hard to save on our television as long as I could. We're also going to be joined in the next hour by Howard Richard to talk about the Mizzou football Tigers, who I hope they're not going to be left out of the playoffs, but of course their chances of getting there are a long shot right now. But we'll get Howard's thoughts. You know, he might know some magical thing on the inside that we don't know right now, so once again, let's not lose hope. Let's not lose hope.
Yeah, with three losses, it's certainly tough. You lose your starting quarterback. But
and then your backup quarterback.
That's right.
I thought you were starting this week, and I realized your eligibility is up.
That's true.
It's an interesting thing when I watch college football now. To see these guys that should be in their second, third season in the NFL or working a regular job that are still playing college football. The eligibility doesn't seem to tick out anytime soon.
That's right. You guys talked about it last hour. Bo Nix is an example of that.
Yeah.
He was at Oregon for forever and then finally gets into the NFL his rookie year, and I believe he was 24 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you see that more and more.
But I think in many ways, being a little bit older, a little bit more mature, maybe has a guy more prepared for the NFL, because now you're more, and I hate to use the term because it sounds sexist, but you're a bit more manly. Your body's a little bit more mature. Your mind's a little bit more mature. And you're making better decisions, hopefully, when it comes to that. You know, you're not just chasing the dollars, but you're probably chasing a career at this point because you decided to hang with the sport longer than normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally it's 4 years, maybe five to play four, and you're done, it's over with. But now there's this extended life where, if anything, a guy's enjoying the sport until that last snap and goes, you know what, I had a great run. I had a great run.
For sure. And even at the NFL level, you see some of these quarterbacks that maybe sit a year behind the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. They learn, they develop, and then when they take that starting job, maybe in year two, they're probably better off for it.
If they decide to stay at the school.
Right.
Because that's the other caveat in all of this, is that you've got this NIL money and you've got this transfer portal. And so now everybody's a free agent, coaches included. Everybody's a free agent. All right, you're listening to Sports Open Line here on KMOX 104.1 FM, America's Sports Voice. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
And welcome back to Sports Open Line here on KMOX 104.1 FM, America's sports voice. This is Randy Knott, a voice that you don't normally hear on the airwaves here, but I am having a pretty good night here on a Friday. It's nice to be able to talk sports. And when you do that, it's always great to bring in the people who are in the know. And Will Leach is in the know when it comes to the game of baseball. Joining us from MLB.com. And Will, first of all, good evening to you. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. I'm coming to you live from Athens, Georgia, before the big game tomorrow night. So I think they're playing Texas, so I think Matthew McConaughey is nearby somewhere around here.
I'll
listen for the sound of bongos,
yes.
And I'll figure that out. Probably be nearby.
Well, you are a man of many hats when it comes to covering sports, but is baseball your number one, or are you kind of on the fence about certain things when it comes to the sports you like to cover?
I always say that, growing up a Cardinals fan, the Cardinals were like my gateway drug to baseball, and which became my gateway drug to all of sports. So I learned to learn that stuff first. So baseball certainly my certainly. I'll put it this way. I don't know if there's a Cardinals game on, if there's a baseball game on, I'm watching it.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah. So the baseball game is definitely this. That's the one I understand the most. It's the one I played very poorly.
There you go.
But did briefly play. So yes.
Well, somebody had to make a superstar stand out, right?
Exactly. I got to be the control group, so you know people that are actually good, how good they are.
So I want to ask you this. You talk about loving baseball. You talk about the superstars in the game. And obviously you had some time on your hands recently because you took every single MVP in the history of the sport and you ranked them. How much time did you have to do that?
Well, to be fair, I actually did that about 6 years ago. We just add two of them each time.
Okay.
So, but that said, I still wrote the whole thing, and there's a lot of them. So, it's very it's actually kind of fun to do that because it's hard to at a certain level. It's fun to compare eras, but it's also fun to compare like individual dominance, right? At the idea that like on one level, I mean, as great as Barry Bonds' best season was. He never pitched as well as hitting like that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to compare like a Shohei year to that. So it's a fun thing to be able to do because, you also look at like some of the years that Stan Musial had and some of the years that what's the best year that Stan had? What's the best year that Pujols had? It's a really kind of fun thing to rank them all together. But for the record, there is no specific scientific process about it. I was just trying to figure it out.
Okay.
It's just a fun thing to kind of put together.
I mean, you might have had a formula or something I didn't know about, so I wanted to make sure that we
we do. When you looked at ranking them, how did win-loss records come into play as well? Because it seems like the MVPs tend to come from the winning teams, either the team that won it all or one of the teams that got close to winning it all.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things I tried to consider when I was putting together the years. I know you're not supposed to consider, you know, how the team did in the World Series or how their season turned out, but I kind of feel like, particularly when you're looking back at years, you should, right? Like, mm-hmm. at a certain level, when you think of, for example, Roger Maris's 1961, not only did he break the home run record, they also won the World Series, and he was the center of the entire sports universe when that happened, even though that year might have been a slightly lower year than one of Mike Trout's years where he had a great year, but the Angels finished in last. I want to reward that, right? You want to reward the idea of how these years are thought of in history and how people kind of remember them. So that was kind of a fun thing to put together too, is that like, and you know, the idea of, I didn't want to rank them just by, well, here's the highest war total, here's the highest OPS. Like obviously that counts, but really this is a, you know, it's a fun baseball kind of exercise. So you want to be able to have fun with it.
Well, it's been a while since the St. Louis Cardinals have had somebody that they can call the league MVP. It's been quite a while. So I want to ask you this. As you look at the Cardinals in the offseason, what is the talk right now when it comes to people around the league about this team?
I think people are very fascinated to see what Heim Bloom is going to do. He's going to be very active, obviously, but like, this is really the first time. You know, he's really kind of been sitting, not just last year, but really the year before, kind of watching the organization, seeing, evaluating everyone, seeing what they need, what they're going to be able to do. And the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals do actually have some talent. I think there's some talent coming. They do have a lot of roster excess. They have like too many infielders. Okay. They've got a couple too many outfielders. And so you're definitely going to see, I think clearly, like they've already talked about, Nolan Arenado is kind of probably going to be the first. They look at that. Sonny Gray could be someone that goes. To me, what's really interesting, I think what a lot of teams are curious about, is how deep the Cardinals are willing to go. Derek Gould in the Post-Dispatch reported today that specifically the Royals are already looking into Brendan Donovan.
Yes.
If Brendan Donovan is on the market, they're not going to be the only team that's interested in him. And so I think that's really to see what Bloom is going to see, not just to put his stamp on the team and like and kind of fix the roster a little bit, but what his timeline is. I think that's one of the things that I think people are very curious about. Maybe 2026 isn't the year they feel like they're going to make a big run at the NL Central, but is it 2027 or is it 2028? Like, what is the timeline? How do they see these kind of everyone kind of folding in? We're going to kind of know that really soon because the Cardinals are going to want to make some moves quickly. I think a lot of teams around baseball are wanting to see what the Cardinals are going to do and how many guys they're willing to trade. But if they go pretty deep, it could be one of the more active off seasons in probably Cardinals baseball memory.
Okay, when you look at Donovan, can he be that linchpin that in a trade could turn the Cardinals around? Could they get that much in return that could make the Cardinals a team to be reckoned with in 2026?
Maybe not in 2026, but I think if they really were committed to maximizing everything in 2026, they'd probably keep Brendan Donovan. I think that what they're really looking for is, you know, they're looking for trade pieces. They're looking to get the timeline set for when a guy like J.J. Weatherholt or a guy like Liam Doyle, when those guys are ready, which is not that far from now, but when those guys are peaking, you want everyone to kind of be on that same timeline. So they're probably looking, when they're talking about trading someone like Donovan, what they're really doing is saying, who's going to bring the most talent into our system? And it can be young talent, but it can also be major league ready talent that you've got under cost control for a few more years. Donovan's going to be a free agent after just two more years. If the Cardinals aren't really planning on winning, don't think they can quite win a World Series in the next 2 years, Donovan is someone that you can help build after that. And I think Donovan is a very valuable player. Obviously, he's defensively versatile. I think he's a terrific hitter. I think a lot of people around baseball still think there's more power in his bat and something that's a lot of value for the Cardinals. So if they did trade him, I don't know about helping with 26 because, again, he would help in 26. But if they did help, if they wanted to trade him, you're looking at 27, 28, and I think they'd be able to get a considerable amount of talent.
Okay. I think that the fans need to have a player that they can look to and go, that's my guy. And I think he's one of those players that fans can look to and say, that's my guy. I had this conversation with Bernie during the last hour about what's lacking on the Cardinals. And to me, what seems to be lacking on the Cardinals is that guy. Because you don't see the the leadership on the diamond that you had when you say had your Pujolses and your Carpenters and your Rolands and your Edmonds, when you had these core guys that were always there and always showed up, but also held other people accountable. I don't know. Maybe I'm just on the outside looking in and I don't see it. But as you look at it, do you see that as being something that the Cardinals need right now? They need that guy, that leader, that person that makes everybody else not only better, but makes everybody else responsible.
I think so, but I think the question is whether, you know, those guys tend to be built. Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina were not like that in 2001 and 2002. They were young players then that were around these kind of more veteran guys or kind of built up and established that for themselves. It's funny when you talk about Donovan, because I agree. Donovan, I think, is the most, one of the most, other than, I guess, Arenado still just because of his, you know, his name. But Donovan, I think, is someone the Cardinals fans really love and really admire and is the type of guy we think of as a Cardinal, as a great kind of Cardinal guy. But that's it, and Donovan is an excellent player. He's not Albert Pujols. He's not Scott Rolen. Sure. He's not Jim Edmonds and these guys. And I think that what the Cardinals are trying to do is build that next generation of guys. To me, if there's someone that the Cardinals fans are going to get really behind, I do think Weatherholt is that kind of big personality. I think he is. If you ever talked to him, if you ever seen any interviews with him, he is definitely not a demure personality. He's a big personality, and it's funny. Like, I think he's actually potentially a better player than this guy, but I always think of how Cardinals fans get very irritated by Pete Crow Armstrong on the Cubs. I think he's like an instant villain. I think Weatherholt's going to be that for other teams, and those guys are great in the way that Yachty was, right?
Yes.
In that kind of idea, that's right. I think what you're talking about is someone that catalyzes everybody and like annoys the other team and becomes someone the fans really love. I think the Cardinals see Weatherholt as that kind of guy, in addition to being a terrific talent. And so I think the idea is, while you want to have guys like Donovan around, you have to realize, I think a lot of it is figuring out, what can we maximize? Like, what can we get? Who is it? If Weatherholt can be that guy, if Liam Doyle, like I said, there's a great clip of Liam Doyle, the last year's first round pick during the College World Series, where his manager came out to get him, and he looked at him the way that Max Scherzer looked at the Blue Jays manager. He's like, "Get out of here!"
Oh yeah,
and like, that's a college kid, right? That's a college kid doing that to like a 50-year-old man. And the manager's like, "Okay, sure, whatever, man. I'm not staying out of it." And
he's like, "Never mind."
Exactly.
Go back to the dugout.
And it takes a certain amount of panache to be able to pull that off. It's like a college kid. And so I think those guys are there. They are young, but they are there. They're just, you know, you have to work yourself into that spot. But what it really starts with is talent. Like, for all the respect that Albert Pujols had and all the respect that Yadier Molina had and Edmonds and Roland, how much they affected the clubhouse, the reason they really affected the clubhouse, they had to start with them being really good.
Sure.
I think that's what the Cardinals are looking for, is to have talent and then also have that fire. I think those guys are there. And I think Weatherholt and Doyle and some of these guys, I think those guys can be there. I think Herrera could be one of those guys, kind of like big personality guys. Those guys are around. It just takes – they're going to have to grow into it. And frankly, fans are going to have to, like, get to know these guys well enough to know. Like, there was a time where someone was like, Yadier Molina is like, why is he taking Mike Matheny's catching job? Matheny's the catcher here.
I remember that season.
So that's the thing, is that like they build into these roles and they go from young players to veteran and established stars pretty quickly.
Okay. Well, Will, I want to thank you very much for being on with us and giving us your insight and really pouring out your love for the game of baseball. But tomorrow you get to enjoy some football, so please enjoy being in Athens, Georgia. We appreciate you being on us with Sports Open Line here on KMOX. That was Will Leach from MLB.com. Thank you and have a great weekend, Will. We're going to be right back on the other side of this break to talk some NBA basketball with my good friend Keith Robinson. Welcome back to KMOX, America's Sports Voice. This is Sports Open Line on this Friday night, and I am Rennie Knott, filling in as the guest host, and it has been spectacular to be a part of this. And what's even better is the fact that I get to reconnect with some people from my past, reconnect with a young man that I watched go from an intern locally to the Inside the NBA show on TNT to now vice president with the Phoenix Suns. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to my good friend Keith Robinson. Good evening, Keith.
Remy, hello. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. How you been? I see that you just sent me a picture of your new daughter. Congratulations. So I take it that you're very busy at home and at work?
That's right. Yeah. Taylor Scott Robinson came here last month, and, you know, it's been a busy month with her and her two big brothers. But the sons are, you know, obviously gave me some time off to spend at home, and yeah. I'm actually just now getting back to the swing of things. But yeah, it's definitely a busy time for sure.
I could bet. Now, how does it feel to go from being a producer of the NBA show to now being the vice president of an NBA team? Is it two different things altogether, or are the two of them sort of relate to one another?
Yeah, I mean, from a broadcast standpoint, there is some relation, some similarities, but it's definitely different working, you know, producing a show where, you know, inside the NBA, where we cover the NBA, we cover the entire league, to overseeing the broadcast for the Phoenix Suns, the Phoenix Mercury, where my main focus is just on our franchise and uplifting our broadcast, mm-hmm. engaging with our fans, the business side of it. Definitely two totally different approaches to it. But all in all, you know, engaging fans with entertaining content all kind of remains the same.
Of course, I want to talk to you about working with the fellas on TNT, but I got to go to the local kid that's on the Phoenix Sun right now. We call him Jay Good. What do you call him, Goody?
Yeah, Goody.
Goody,
Jordan Goodwin. Yeah.
I mean, he's becoming something, isn't he?
Yeah, this is his second stint here in Phoenix with the Suns. And, you know, he grinded out during training camp, filled out the last – he made the last roster spot.
Mm.
You know, he was fighting, you know, for that point guard, that backup point guard position on the bench. And we've had some injuries early on in the season that's allowed him to kind of step in and really shine, man. And that same tenacity, that dog mentality that he had with SLU, he's brought it to the NBA and he's brought it to Phoenix, and people love him. You know, him and Dylan Brooks are two guys that you don't want. The other team does not want to face those guys because they're gonna press you full court. They're gonna rebound. He's been working on his jump shot like crazy. He's knocking down open jumpers, which is gonna keep him in the league a long time. And yeah, he has just become a fan favorite. Just one of those glue guys that does everything that needs to be done. And we wouldn't be off to this great start that we're having without him, for sure.
It says a lot about his ability to stick with it, because I think a number of guys who have had the ups and downs as he's had trying to establish himself in the NBA would have maybe given up, maybe gone overseas, or just, you know, went out and got a regular job. When you watch him in practice, just how attentive is he to what's happening out there? How much of a student of the game is Jordan?
I mean, he's a vocal leader. He's bounced around the team, bounced around the league. Got a chance to play with the Lakers. I know he learned a lot from that time. He learned a lot from his previous stint here in Phoenix. And to your point, he could have offers overseas and probably would make a little bit more money and have a little bit more of an opportunity. But, you know, there's something about playing here in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you are a star in your role, we talk about that all the time in all aspects of the business, but you know, he is finding a spot in this league where defense matters, rebounding matters, being a glue guy, first one off the bench if he's not playing, high-fiving. The vibes are high around the team, which is good. Like, you need those type of players, and then he is just making the most of his opportunity. Like I said, he's knocking down shots, he's making plays. And he's contributing in major, major ways to our wins.
That's so impressive to hear. I want to take you back to your days at TNT. And I was talking to Kyle during the break about the things you've been able to do and be around the guys on that set and how spectacular that was. But the moment that stands out the most to me, and you'll never forget it, I'm sure, is the night after an NBA playoff game that you asked for your wife's hand in marriage. How much of a leap was that of you to do that, not just on the court, but on live national TV at the same time.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the beauty of that show is that, they will try anything and give an opportunity for any sort of idea as you've watched over the years. And it was actually during All-Star Weekend. So the story was, the reason why I even thought about that day was because we were in Toronto and for NBA All-Star Weekend in 2016. And All-Star Sunday was on Valentine's Day. And I had already, Cassie, my wife and I had already been together for a number of years, mm-hmm. and I was already thinking about it. And when I saw that on the schedule, I thought it would be a pretty cool opportunity.
Yeah.
Her and I met at TNT.
Wow.
We met in the cafeteria at TNT. She knew all the folks that I work with because she used to work in production as well. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it would be a cool way to blend both things together. And yeah, I just told them that I had this idea, and they were all for it.
Yeah,
and so she had never been to Toronto, so it was kind of easy getting her there. And I just told her that hey, Ernie wants to do something really special for All Star this weekend, and he wants wants to show what it takes to put on All Star Weekend uh-huh. for somebody from the crew, and so he wants me to be the reporter. And she was like, "Really? Like what do you want you to do it for?" So I was like, "I don't know. I just need you on the tour to film this for our friends and family." And so she was like, "All right." And so she was about 3 feet behind the camera, and Ernie tossed it to me. It was the last segment of Inside the NBA that Sunday. Mm. He tossed it to me, and I went through a whole little spill, and all of a sudden I started walking towards her, and she was like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And she is not the one for any attention to be drawn to her or anything.
Okay.
But she had no clue. I probably wouldn't recommend doing it again. I had all the confidence in the world that she was going to say yes.
Well, that's beautiful. It was one of the most emotional moments that I can ever think of in my personal life when it comes to a friend having the happiest time of his life. I cried when I watched it. My wife cried when I played it back for her. And we kept that on our DVR for the longest time. And, of course, now we have a different setup, so we don't have it anymore. But we used to play it time and time again. And I think what I want to tell the folks out there about Keith is this. When Keith was an intern at the station that I worked at here in St. Louis, he never said a word for the longest time. And then all of a sudden, from the back of the room, he piped up and said something. And we all just kind of turned and went, "He lives." And to see where your career has gone from Hazelwood West, correct?
Yes, right. Hazelwood West.
From Hazelwood West to where you are today, what do you think has been your driving force? What do you think has been the thing that has gotten you to this level of success?
I mean, honestly, it's folks like yourself. When I got my start at Channel 5 and I was at a little intern and I was grinding my way and a production assistant and then, the folks in that office literally teaching me how to produce sports content on television because mm-hmm. I went to Southeast Missouri State for a journalism background. I wanted to be a beat writer.
Okay.
So I had zero TV experience, but just seeing you and Frank and, always going out and working as hard as you did, like, I had no excuse not to. Mm-hmm. And then I took that same work ethic to Atlanta with TNT, and it was similar. Like, the boss in charge was a similar type of work ethic that was there early, stayed late, always right. there. And so I kind of was just on that grind where it's like I'm going to be the first one to arrive, last one to leave, absorb and observe everything and take all as much information in. And when I get my opportunity, just take it. And so, I bring that with me here to Phoenix as well. I talk to students all the time, college students, and everybody wants that secret sauce of like, man, how did you get the TNT? How did you do this? How did you do that? And the secret sauce is just hard work.
Yeah.
It's showing up early, staying late, asking questions, learning from your mistakes, because you're going to make mistakes, especially in live television, learning from those mistakes, being reliable, being trustworthy, being proactive, like all the things that make you a good teammate when you're playing a sport is the same thing that drives me or pushes people to success in this business. Because live television is definitely a team sport for sure. And we can't do it alone. And so all those characteristics kind of fall into that. I grew up playing sports, was the captain of all my teams, playing, you know, from the time I was playing T-ball through high school, you know, president of my fraternity chapter down at SEMO. And so leadership has always been my thing. Yeah. And kind of leading people, but leading by example.
Yeah. Well, you've certainly done some great things, and you've gone from that quiet guy in the back of the room to someone that is a true role model for so many folks out there. Keith, it's been wonderful catching up with you. I'm wishing you all the best. Congratulations on being a girl dad now. A lot to be said, a lot to embrace there. My daughter's now 2 years married, just to give you an idea where I am and all of that. Thank you for joining us. We're going to take a break now here on Sports Open Line. We'll be right back with more on 104.1 FM KMOX. 1 hour of Sports Open Line, just about in the books here on KMOX, the America's voice, sports voice. We had a great first hour, joined by a couple of really good guests. William Leach from MLB.com, and of course, Keith Robinson, who grew up here in St. Louis, went to Hazelwood West, and is now a VP with the Phoenix Suns. Told us a lot about Jordan Goodwin, former SLU basketball player, Althoff basketball player, who's now making waves with the Suns and looks like he's going to be a stick guy with that team. We've got a lot more coming up in the next hour here on Sports Open Line. Pierre Desir is going to join us, former NFL player, former Lindenwood standout. And, of course, Howard Richards will be here to talk about Mizzou football. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Matt has the night off. He's enjoying a nice Friday night at home, hopefully, and just kicking back with his feet and everything else and saying this is the good life. This is Randy Knott actually in the chair tonight, having a wonderful time here on Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM KMOX, America's Sports Voice. It's been a while since I've had an opportunity to talk sports. I thought maybe I would have forgotten a few things. But, man, it's like riding a horse. You just jump back on and get up and let's go. It's been fun, Kyle. It really has.
That's what's great about sports, right? It's easy to talk about. You always got sports going on. You can always comment on the next game coming up. Jump right back in.
So true. And we could talk about a lot of different games, but what I want to talk about right now is something that my wife just tweeted me. That Disney and YouTube have come to an agreement, so now ESPN is back on YouTube. Can you believe that?
No, I can't, honestly, after what just happened.
I mean, so here's the thing that got us. So we got a text message or whatever from YouTube that, you know, they're going to refund us $20 because we can't watch ESPN. Are you kidding me? So then what does my wife do? Well, she decides that she's going to go ahead and subscribe to ESPN just so that she can watch certain games because she is a big college football fan. And I'm thinking, was this one of those deals where one side said, look, you take us off for a while. We'll get some subscribers over here. We'll bank a little bit. Then we'll come back to you. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. I know it made a lot of people, me included, uh-huh, a lot of people mad. Weren't able to watch that one Monday night football game. There was so many bad situations that came from this.
We started calling around to see what bars didn't have YouTube TV and just had, you know, DirecTV. Mm-hmm. We go over there, watch whatever. But it's amazing what apps have done to your viewership.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I don't like about apps is I love the YouTube because I can watch four games at once and something like that. But if a game's on Prime and you want to watch a game on another, you got to get out of that app, go to another app. It is so frustrating. You just can't flip around like you used to back mm-hmm. in the day when you basically had ESPN, Fox, and CBS.
Right.
Now, it's a whole new world. It's your world because you're one of the young people, Kyle. This is what you guys wanted. You got what you wanted. Apps, apps, and more apps.
It is frustrating, though. I mean, on an NFL Sunday, you got to go to Peacock for Sunday mm-hmm. night football. You got to have the NFL app for Red Zone if that's what you want to watch. Mm-hmm. Thursday night football, you got to go to Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. ESPN for Monday night football. Mm-hmm. Every different app has a different game, and it is frustrating.
And there is no TV guide to tell you which one you need to turn to either. One of the things that we did, we got a larger TV. We got a 75-inch TV a couple of years ago because I told my wife, I said, if we buy a bigger TV, this is my argument, then when we watch the four box, each game is bigger. So each game is like a 30-inch TV instead of a 10-inch TV. She bought it.
That's good math right there.
Then I went and I got a 50-inch TV because there's an outlet that you can go to and only paid like $100 for this TV. It's a Samsung. Put that on one. Watch one game on there, four on the other. It's like going to a sports bar without leaving the house.
Smart.
Nice move. Nice mm-hmm. move. Now, of course, you can only watch so much because I think if you try to do more than two or three TVs at once on YouTube, you get the circle. It starts to spin. Mm. It's like, you know, or slow down or it kicks out. So we have to curtail Mr. Easton, that's my son, watching his YouTube TV at his place in Washington, D.C. because he's using our account. So every time we have to call him and go, hey, we want to watch three games now. So kick him off the app if we can. It has been a tremendous 2 hours so far because I had opportunity to do rush hour sports, and we talked a lot. One of the things, even though we're at the start of hockey season for the most part, people really want to talk Cardinals baseball. And I think that is one of the beauties of St. Louis is that you have this team that has so much tradition that I don't care what time of the year it is, people can start up a conversation and talk baseball, Kyle.
That's right, and you said it with Will Leach. This is an offseason that has a lot more intrigue than most recent off seasons in Cardinals recent memory. I mean, you got Chaim Bloom coming in. It's interesting to see what he's going to do. His philosophy, his approach to kind of setting the tone for this rebuild, retool, whatever you want to say. It's really interesting.
It was interesting to talk to him about Donovan being a linchpin, because Donovan can go either way and improve this team at the same time. You trade him, you might get the pieces that down the line make you a dominating team or a better team. You could keep him and build around him, and he can be that guy that people look forward to seeing, which right now is something they don't have. They don't have a that guy if you pull him out. You got other people you like to watch, but he does so many things, and he does it at a level where it's fun to watch. You know, the hair starts blowing when the helmet comes off and everything else. He's fun to watch. He goes and he gets it. And I get why people could go either way with it, but I think more folks would be heavily disappointed if he left the St. Louis Cardinals for a bunch of prospects and a couple of used-to-bes than if he stayed and you tried to build around him.
I do agree. I mean, he was your only All-Star in 2025. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that represented the Cardinals. But again, I think it's about the timeline of when the Cardinals are going to come together and be a championship-caliber team. You don't want to be that team that's hoping to sneak into the playoffs. And that's kind of what they were hoping to be this year with the runway season.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out to be that way. You didn't make the playoffs. It's about the timing. You want, like Will Leach said, you want players that are going to come up at the same time with Weatherholt, with Doyle, those types of guys that hopefully push you over the hump to get back to a championship caliber team, not just someone who's going to sneak in.
You want to be a contender, and not a contender in the sense that, like you said, sneak in, but a contender in the sense that this team can make a true run to a World Series championship. Now, you look back at history, being the wild card was not a bad thing for the Cardinals because they're able to take that to a championship. It makes you a little bit more hungry. It makes you really want to go and get it. So I don't fault them for being a team that can chase for the wild card, but that shouldn't be your number one goal. Your number one goal should be to win the division, and then you become the team that dictates its future from that point on, not hoping that, oh, if we can squeak in and then things start to fall in our favor, we can make it happen. Be the team that people fear. And as I said earlier, I haven't been inside of a clubhouse in a long time. I only watched from afar. And watching from afar, it was difficult to watch this team for an entire game. A couple of innings here and there, it was good. But a whole game, you know, and sometimes to me, baseball could be boring. And a lot of times when it came to watching the Cardinals game, it got boring. And I hate to see that.
It was a tough season, for sure. You had that moment of hope in May where the team had a good run. All of a sudden, they're in the playoff picture, and then it kind of went downhill. You sold at the deadline. And that's exactly why. It's like, do you trade guys like Donovan, Alec Burleson, to where you're more you go into the season and you're a division favorite, especially in the NL. You got the Dodgers in the middle of a dynasty.
Yeah.
You got to be someone that can compete with that level of team.
Well, you also got to be someone willing to spend that kind of money.
That's
okay.
Also
the Dodgers, the Dodgers have spent all the money, and so they paid for their championship, but they also gave us all something to watch. They were either the hero or the villain, depending on which way you want to look at them. Because you look at all of this, you're going, ah, that's what money does. That's not true baseball. That's just somebody who bought a championship. But then you watch a guy like Ohtani do what he did, and you go, man, I'm watching something that no one has ever seen before. So in some ways, you have to praise what is happening there. But a small market team, and I guess St. Louis considered small market, you can't compete with bringing in people like that because you can't have that type of a payroll. And especially can't be weighted on just one player. You know, that's how Albert left. You can't pay $300-plus million to one guy and then hope to continue to build a championship team around it. You're going to have one attraction, and that's it. So hopefully Bloom could figure out a formula and get this team back to what the team used to be. It is hockey season, though, right now, and as I look up at the big scoreboard here, the Blues actually have a lead over Calgary in the first period.
They scored in the first minute.
Give me a break. Let's stop the game right now. Everybody, somebody turn off the lights and send everybody home. Hey, I'm not ready to give up on the Blues either. It's only November. There's a long way to go, and as I said in the other hour, you've got that all-star break in there to where if guys burn it out going into it, they've got a longer period to kind of rest up and be off. So I'm not ready to throw in the towel, although some people are. We've got much more to go here on Sports Open Line. Something other than my voice, we're going to be joined by Pierre Desir, who used to play football for Lindenwood, Then he went to the NFL. Now he is back in the St. Charles area, trying to make a difference in his community. We're going to talk to him about that coming up next here on Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM KMOX. Welcome back to Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Renny Knott in the seat. If you're watching on the live stream, that'll be on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, you may look at me and go, boy, he's sweating. There is no AC in here at the moment, so we're running off of a fan on the floor over here. So, yes, it is warm inside. Looked up at the Blues after looking away for about 2 minutes, and now they're tied at one in the first period against Calgary.
That didn't last long.
Did not last long. But as I said about hope, it ain't over yet.
That's true.
All right. Now, with a minute left in the game and it's like this, then we can talk again and reminisce about the time they had that one goal lead. We're waiting right now for Pierre Desir to give us a call and talk a little football with him. He's had quite a life, not just a career when it comes to sports, but quite a life. He was born in Haiti. When he was about 4 years old, his family moved here to the St. Louis area. He grew up in the St. Charles area, played football. Ended up playing football at two small colleges, the last being Lindenwood, was all-conference, all-American, all-everything when it came to being a cornerback as well as a special teams return man. He then got drafted by the Cleveland Browns, bounced around in the league for a few years, but was able to earn one very large contract, which then, as he put it, changed his life, changed his family's life, and gave them a lot of security. And so the reason why I wanted to have him on wasn't just about his football career and what sports has done for him, but also talked to him about what he's doing in the St. Charles area when it comes to hoping to motivate young athletes and to get them on the right path, not just as athletes, but also as people in general. And right now, I think that's a very important thing in our world, especially when you look at social media and what social media can do to a kid and what a kid thinks is important. Probably isn't. And so it's great to see somebody that's still young, that kids look up to, that can lead them on a path of doing the right thing. So I'm looking forward to having Pierre on. Hopefully he calls us soon, and hopefully he's probably out at dinner doing something and didn't realize what time it was. And that can happen, and I can appreciate that. But I'm still going to keep tagging him here on Instagram and get him to pick up that phone and give us a phone call. Because as I said earlier, I don't like listening to my voice. it's a little much. Blues have the lead now 2-1.
This game is back and forth early.
Fast and furious.
Yeah, lots of goals early.
I like that. Going back to the St. Louis sports scene, and I know we spent a lot of time talking about the Blues and about the Cardinals, mainly about the Cardinals, but we also have City SC in town. And it's interesting to look at what City SC has done in the seasons that it has played in the MLS, because their first year started out with so much hope, so much glamour, so much surprise, and then you get knocked down not just to earth but to the bottom of the pile. And I think in many ways, people who weren't traditional soccer fans may have almost forgotten about this team, because the team was no longer on the front page all the time. They weren't leading the sportscast. It was like, oh, by the way, when it came to them. They've had a lot of changes when it comes to coaching and the front office and all of that. So hopefully, and this is a new franchise, hopefully the people in charge are learning from the mistakes, learning from the experiences, and are going to line up a team on the pitch that could be victorious.
For sure. And just like the Cardinals, they have Chaim Bloom as their new president of baseball operations. City just announced Corey Ray as their new sporting director. So that's two St. Louis teams with kind of a new ideas at the front in their front office and possibly in a new direction. So I'm really interested to see what changes in this fourth year coming up between or from their first three, I should say.
Now, one thing about the new guy is that he does have an MLS background.
He does.
And so by having that MLS background, you have a better understanding of how the game is played in this league at this level, the moves you need to be made, the way the guys play. And when I watch this team play, and I'm not a huge soccer person, but I know enough about watching soccer to say, well, you need more of this, you need more of that. They seem to get behind a lot when it came to defense. A team would get on a rush and on a run and would just leave them behind, and they were always like a step behind when it came to some of the better teams in the league. So I think team speed is certainly something that they need. You've got a great goalie. You just signed up to a new contract, a lot on his shoulders. But a good goalie is like having a great pitcher, because if he could do his thing, you don't need a whole lot on the other end for you to win a match. Do they need to have a big-name person coming here? No. But it would be nice to see a hometown kid grow up and do well on this team, because we are a soccer city. And I think that would really help solidify and put us on the map if one of our homegrown athletes is able to play for the homegrown team.
Yeah, 100%. I'm interested to see what the new approach this year is. And like you said, the philosophy of this team was always interesting. They were always a few touch kind of score in transition type of team. So I'm interested to see if that's still the philosophy. I'm interested to see the type of players they acquire. I think it's going to be an interesting offseason. And that's not even to mention their schedule flip. So that's going to begin in 2027 with the MLS now starting in the summer, going through the winter and ending in the spring. So a lot of interesting stuff going in, going on in the MLS right now, yeah. I would say.
It'll be interesting to see soccer played at Energizer Park in St. Louis in December and January.
In December, yeah.
Woo!
Cold.
We're going to have to use a different colored ball, because yes, there might be some snow on the ground during that time period. I do like the MLS soccer in the sense that I love going to Energizer Park and feeling that energy from the supporters group. It's like going to an event, not just to a sports activity, because you become a part of it with the way you cheer, with the way you're jumping up and down and the smoke and everything else going off. I just hope that as we move forward, we're not a team that are not a team, but a city that used to be a city of champions, but now a city of, well, we hope to be contenders. We want to be a city that has been the city that it has been since practically the beginning of time. You think about the St. Louis Cardinals, but it's always been one where you go, that's a team to beat. That's a city to beat. And I think it is indeed possible that they can get there. It's only, what, year four they're going into now? So they've got room for improvement for sure. So I'm not going to give up on them just yet. Battlehawks, we'll see. That's another one that does well until, well, it's crunch time. And it's either win this game or go home, and they're watching the next game on TV.
One thing you will say about the Battlehawks, though, is those fans come out to support them. Same with City SC and Energizer Park. That place is always packed. The atmosphere is always great, so that's at least something you can appreciate.
Yeah, and I think that's why I want to see the teams get back to the fans with some wins, because the fans have been there for you. Now it's up to you to be there for the fans, and to do that, that means winning some games and giving them some hope that we could be champions once again. We're going to take a break right now on Sports Open Line. When we come back, maybe we'll have Mr. Desir on. We know that Howard Richards will be up shortly to talk some Mizzou football with us. You're listening to Sports Open Line here on 104.1 FM KMOX. And welcome back to Sports Open Line here on 104.1 FM KMOX, America's sports voice. This is Rennie Knott, guest hosting tonight, and it has been a pleasure to be in your ears. It has been a pleasure to sit in this chair and just chat up some sports and talk to some of the people in the know. And so this weekend, I think, is a pretty big weekend for Mizzou football. I think it's fair to say that, because we're all trying to keep hope alive that maybe, just maybe, some good things are going to happen, and maybe, just maybe, things will happen elsewhere that allows them to make their way into the college football playoffs. I don't know. Strange things have happened over the course of time, which have allowed certain teams to achieve that a lot of folks thought they don't stand a chance, yet it happens. So let's bring in now one of the voices of our Mizzou football Tigers, the one and only Howard Richards. How you doing, sir?
I'm well, Randy. Hey, twice this week.
Twice.
I've had a chance to chat with you. That's pretty good, man.
I just love the fact that, so what Howard's talking about is that we were together at the Boys and Girls Club of Greater St. Louis's Futures Gala back on Wednesday night. It was a heck of a time, raised a lot of money for a wonderful cause. But there's something that I didn't know that I learned that night, is that you were a club kid at one time, right?
Yeah, I was. I started going to the club in your audience, being someone young, they might be shocked when they hear 1968, I think, was the first year that I started going to the club. Maybe even 67, I can't remember.
Wow.
But I grew up in that club when it was known simply as the Herbert Hoover Boys Club.
Wow.
Before it was even Boys and Girls Club. And I tell the story, so I learned a lot of things there. Learned how to swim, learned to hone my skills playing baseball and basketball. But I used to play chess and checkers almost every day.
Wow.
And there was a gentleman who was like a counselor. I didn't really know who he was. I mean, he was just a nice guy, kind of a grandfatherly type. But I would play him, and he would beat me. One day, I finally beat him. And when I wanted to play him again, he said, I'm not going to play anymore. I go, well, why not? He goes, because you've already beat me. Because I want you to take what you've learned from me and go teach it to other people.
Love it.
So that person was, I think, either fly or featherweight champion Henry Armstrong.
Oh, wow.
And he was, you know, I learned later in life who he was and what a huge figure he was. But he, you know, spent so much time with we young people, and it was just amazing. I mean, when I think back, the experiences, and that's just one of many that I had at that club, but it meant a lot to me. And for me to be in the club's Hall of Honor, to go back and support the club as an honorary chair, and I've been on the board. I served on the board for a year, a number of years back. It's just an incredible organization, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, thank you for giving back, because I know a lot of folks could reach a level of success and sort of forget where they came from. And it's great to hear you talking about, this is where I'm from, this is where I stay, this is what I still believe in. I greatly appreciate that, and I think I see that quite a bit in the St. Louis area, especially with our sports stars who have come back and have lent to the community either in dollars or in just presence. And sometimes presence is even more valuable than the dollars. But let's talk some Mizzou football right now. And I'm looking at a team that I think this weekend is pivotal in the sense that if you win, hope in some way or another remains alive. You need a lot of other things to happen, but hope remains alive. You lose, and people are going to jump off the bandwagon left or right. How do you see this weekend? How pivotal is it?
Well, I think you're right in a number of ways. Although the you can't play for the SEC championship, the college football playoff is probably out of reach. But as you mentioned, you just never know. I mean, if the team's at the top, if someone stumbles, if someone upsets another team here or there, I mean, who knows? But aside from that, for Mizzou, what it means is playing for something that you know is within reach. And if Eli Drinkwitz manages to win out the regular season, go to a bowl game, and win that bowl game, it'll be the only time in Mizzou football history that a coach has won three consecutive double-digit win seasons. And that means a lot.
Yeah,
what
it
says is that your program is on a continuum of upward trajectory. And that's important for recruiting. It's important for the fan base. And we know they can be a little restless at times. And I trust me, I get it. As a former player who played for the university, I truly understand exactly what it means. But I say Coach Drinkwitz has done an outstanding job with, you know, from what he inherited when he arrived in Missouri six seasons ago to where they are now. And I still feel that the program is moving in the right direction under his guidance. And I think that if as long as he stays, which I do believe he will stay, and it's just my opinion, I'm just sort of piecing together what I know about the sport for the many years that I've been involved with it. I think his desire to stay outweighs his desire to leave.
Okay. And that's great to hear, because you're looking at the programs that are looking for coaches. You're looking at what he's been able to build and really be not just successful at, but keeping that consistency there as well. And it seems to be getting better and better and more exciting each year. You're seeing the growth
of the stadium. You're seeing the growth of the fan base reaching out beyond the borders of Missouri into other states where people are cheering for Mizzou. And I think it's great to think that, man, I can't see this guy leaving. But you and I both know that there is a lot and a lot of money in college football. Do you think, when you look at your heart of hearts, that one of these bigger programs that do have the big donors and the big dollars can lure him there? Or do you think that Mizzou can make another counter offer, in other words, add to the extension, blah, 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 to keep him where he is?
I believe the latter is probably more true than the former. I think Drake is either like in the top 10 or top 11 of most highly compensated coaches as it is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much more does he need? But here's the thing, the intangibles. Family is happy. His four daughters, his wife, I believe they really enjoy what Columbia, Missouri, and Mid-Missouri, and being able to get to St. Louis and Kansas City. I believe they appreciate that and really like where they are. To have an administration, an athletic director, who didn't hire you, by the way, but who's behind you and supports you, the president slash chancellor of the university, the board of curators, all are in on Eli Drinkwitz. And the overwhelming majority of fans are, too. And I think that, you know, if you weigh those things and you weigh the pressure to win at a school like Florida, a school like LSU, a school like Penn State, you know, if you don't win in 3 to 4 years, and I'm not just talking about winning, I'm talking about like a national championship,
right.
Which is something Brian Kelly could not accomplish in his fourth season, and you compare him to his predecessor, Nick Saban, who won it within 4 years, Les Miles, who won a natty within 4 years, and Ed Orgeron, who won a win within 4 years. It's a difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And Drink could be in the same situation if he were to decide, hey, I want more money, I want this or that, I think I can win a national championship in here or Florida. And then he's on the street. Florida has had maybe four or five coaches since Missouri has been in the SEC, joining in the year 2012. So what does that tell you? They're not sticking with coaches very long in order to develop their football program as much as, to me, you really should be. And look at the example that a person, a coach like Clark Lea, look at what he's accomplished since he's been at Vanderbilt.
Okay.
You take a school that was a perennial doormat in the SEC. I mean, really with no hopes of winning.
Yeah.
And he has built a team that, you know, I mean, they started winning and turned it around last year and were among the top teams in the SEC this season. And the model to me that Clark Lea has built, and he's probably his trajectory has risen, that angle has risen a lot sharper, a lot higher. Mm. I should say more obtuse, not acute. More obtuse angle.
You and your math skills.
Days. has probably grown even higher, faster than that of Eli Drinkwitz. Mm. Now, that's not comparing or saying that Clark Lee's a better coach than Drink. That's not what I'm trying to say. But when you come from nothing to all of a sudden you've got a quarterback who earlier in the season is in the Heisman Trophy talk, your team is in the discussion of possibly making the college football playoff, that's a significant game. But the attention that it has brought to that program, to me, what it shows is that if you – and again, it's not always on the coach. Look at the people that make the hiring decisions.
Right.
They should be looking at themselves in the mirror.
Okay.
You hire the right coach, the coach to do the job you expect him to do and give him time to do so. Clark Lea is that example.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. If the starting quarterback for the Mizzou Tigers is still healthy and still playing, are we having a different conversation about this season?
Possibly. I mean, obviously, that's not a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, let's just say Bo Pribula was having some struggles. I think he had thrown interceptions in five or six six games or something like that, and he had turned the ball over a few times. So that is certainly something that they were really looking at correcting with him. Now, Matt Zollers is completely different style of quarterback. You know, he's you know, 6'4". He's a guy that can see over most of his offensive linemen. He's a pocket type passer that can run the ball, but has a stronger arm and a quicker release. And what I'll say about Zollers is that once the game slows down for him, and if the coaching staff will put him in better situations, unlike they did last week against Texas A&M, then I think you really have the ability to see what this young man's potential will be. Because I think people will be happy with what they will see from him. And I think over the next few weeks, you're going to see a different quarterback than what you saw against Texas A&M. And really, you know, even at, going back to the A&M game, if the turnover doesn't happen just before halftime, it's a 7-0 game. And Missouri has shown the propensity in the past that they can play from behind, especially at home, and come back and win games. But, you know, I think the gap was too large. Texas A&M was too good of a team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a team that has to throw the ball. Your defensive players, especially your pass rush, can pin their ears back and just come after you. It makes it a much, much more difficult challenge to try to get back in the game and keep pace and try to be competitive and maybe be able to win this game in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's a good thing they've had a running game. And that running game has certainly made you pay attention to what they do and what the abilities are when it comes to driving the ball. But you certainly need to have a passing game, especially with the speeds that you have now in college sports as well as the sports in general. So what has to happen on Saturday for the Mizzou Tigers to win?
Well, I do believe if you allow Matt Zollers to acclimate to the speed of the game early on, you know, more quick screens, more slants, also utilizing that running game. You got two of the best backs in the SEC. They Missouri rushed for 207 yards between the two of them. If I told you that Mizzou would have two backs that rushed for over 100 yards last week against A&M, you'd say it's either going to be a very close game or Missouri's going to win this game at home.
Okay.
And I think Mizzou could have probably rushed for, you know, some number approaching 300 yards if it had been more intentional about doing so. So to answer your question further, I think you've got to showcase your running ability. That's got to be your strength. And in doing so, you can settle down the quarterback and give him some easier throws until he feels more comfortable. And what that does, it allows, you know, the safeties to start playing more in the box.
Right.
And then allow yourself to take some deep shots downfield to loosen up the field. That gives you the opportunity to start throwing the ball towards the middle of the field, something Missouri only did, I think, four times last week. And it was wide open. So I think they're playing it much more safely and conservatively than I think a lot of us expected. But listen, you know, the goal here, you got to win out, and you can't do that by playing soft or playing scared or playing conservatively. I think you really got to be aggressive on offense in order to make a statement and come away with a win tomorrow.
All right, well, let's go get it. Let's go get it. All right, and. M-I-Z.
M-I-Z-Z-O-U,
my friend. I just wanted to hear the other side of that. As a former running back, I love the fact you talk about the running game because that's where my heart is. Howard, thank you so much for not just joining me tonight, but joining me back on Wednesday night. It's great to talk to you twice in 1 week. Good luck with the broadcast tomorrow, my friend.
Thank you so much, Rennie. Good to talk to you.
Thank you all for listening to Sports Open Line. We got another break here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Welcome back to 104.1 FM KMOX. We're on Sports Open Line. I am Rennie Knott. We're finishing up the show now, and it has been tremendous to be a part of your evening. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've had a chance to talk a lot about sports. We've had a chance to talk to Kyle, finally the man on the other side of the room. We got to hear his voice, He's a good dude. I enjoy him a lot. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully this isn't the last time you hear my voice here on this show or any show on KMOX. It is a great opportunity to speak to the people of St. Louis one-on-one. Have a tremendous Friday night, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'm looking forward to talking to you again. I'm Rennie Knott. You've been listening to Sports Open Line here on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.